The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We work towards the weekend with Peter King. Peter King will be with us today. Football morning in America's Peter King, none bigger than Peter, around the NFL and all the scene there. I want to talk to Peter about where things are with COVID, because he has hinted around, and Peter has his people inside the NFL offices, that what we saw yesterday with the Steelers and Ravens playing on a Wednesday afternoon is only going to continue here down the stretch. And should the NFL consider the idea of a bubble for the playoffs? We have the 49ers moving down here to Arizona, so I think it's a very prudent discussion to have. We'll also talk about the Cardinals and Rams and how the Cardinals just cannot beat the Rams here over the last six games. They are 6-0, the Rams are, against your Cardinals. Goody at the Movies is going to be with us today. So it's been a weird year. We all know that. But I've always tried on doing this show that on when we get close to the weekend to look ahead towards the games. Yeah, we'll do that. But also, got to have a life. Get out. See some movies. Or in this case, stream some movies. And there's a lot that's out there. It's that time of year where they start to try to push some big stuff out. Clooney's got something coming. Tom Hanks has something coming. So Goody at the Movies, he will be with us as well on the show. We are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. So the Cardinals have lost 3 of 4. They get ready for the Rams on Sunday. Jared Goff's been just awful lately, and his head coach, Sean McVay, has been getting after him. The Rams, as mentioned, have won the last 6 against the Cardinals. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the Cardinals weren't good at all when this 6-game run started. And then last year, they were a little bit better, but not by much. And this year, they're trying to get better. And I still think when I see the Rams, especially on the defensive front, with the way the Cardinals have been beat up, or just not that effective, I feel like Aaron Donald is going to have a big day against Kyler Murray. And teams now, as the season has gone on, you can't tell me the Rams didn't sit there and watch how Bill Belichick schemed on Kyler Murray. All right? Can't tell me that's not going to happen. So you can get Fitz back. Is that really going to make a difference on the Cardinals of anything? It may make a huge difference. I simply don't know. I know this. I feel much more confident about the way the Rams are playing than the Cardinals are playing. Your Cardinals have dropped 3 of the last 4. Numbers don't lie. Can't sugarcoat it. Must win for them. Panic City is going to set in if they don't win this game. Following week, got to go cross-country, play the Giants. Giants may have stunk early in the year. I don't think they're very great now, but they've won 3 games in a row. They're starting to figure it out. Watching the Steelers yesterday move to 11-0, so I am one of those that can go through, when I was a kid, the Miami Dolphins went 14-0, and then they ended up going 17-0. Last team to do it. Last team to have a perfect season. Last team to have an amazing run. It feels to me like the Steelers are going to stub their toe. One, and two, in this case, we simply don't know what each week is going to look like. If I would have told you a week ago, hey, by the way, 3 Denver Bronco quarterbacks are going to go out and do their own thing, and they're going to bring back COVID. Some of you would say, well, it's the flu, it's not COVID, because there is that group of people that's out there. There is that side of it that says, well, that was pretty irresponsible of the Broncos. But if I told you that they're going to have a nobody at quarterback in a big game against the New Orleans Saints, you wouldn't have believed me. So really, we are coming down to what it looks like when the game gets kicked off. Who is it that is testing positive? Who is it that's going to be kept out? When teams start to have their season get away from them, and you can see some teams now, they're not going to the playoffs. And so are those players that aren't going to the playoffs, are they starting to become irresponsible and say, screw it, I'm going to go do my own thing? We're talking about guys in general between the ages of, I don't know, 22 to about 32, 35. Not too many Tom Brady's and Drew Brees's out there, okay? We're talking about young men that have money coming their way, that put in a lot of hard work. And so if they're out of the playoff race, if there's not a chance in Cincinnati or Jacksonville, or just go down the list of teams, you know, in Chicago, if you go down the list and look at teams that are just spinning and circling the drain, unless you're in the NFC West, East, if you're in the NFC East, every team is circling the drain. then you're probably in that mindset of, you know, why am I going through this? Not every guy on that roster is going to be disciplined. I've read up in Seattle where they have an emergency quarterback who is not interacting at all with Russell Wilson, just in case. So Peter was telling me a story earlier this year of a public relations director with one of the NFL teams who has basically told his family, I'm not going to see you. You know, I don't know if that's still going on, but that was like week five, week six. It was a really interesting story. So to predict if the Steelers, the topic here, can the Steelers run the table? Can the Steelers go all the way through and be perfect? It's something that we haven't seen. It's something I think would be pretty cool. But it's hard to predict who's going to come out and play each week, who's going to walk out the door, as we like to say. On the college end of things, tonight Arizona State basketball plays, and I will watch. I'm one of those that will find the Pac-12 network some way, somehow. Arizona State basketball has become this, I think basketball season in general here is going to be really interesting. But Arizona State, because they have two players, Josh Christopher and Marcus Bagley, who probably are going to be, I don't know about lottery. Some people say lottery, we'll see. But first round picks and one and dones. And what I saw out of Bagley in particular last week in the Sun Devils' two games in the East Coast, even against Villanova, you look at him and you're just like, oh my goodness. So tonight they play Cal. And what is a weird deal within the conference, they just fly up, they play Cal, and then they come back. Then they have San Diego State. It's not staying around for a weekend and playing Cal on one day and then playing Stanford the next. U of A was supposed to play tonight against Colorado. Canceled. COVID. They got to stick around at home. They had a game against, I think it's Eastern Washington. I think I've got that right. Eastern Washington. That they're trying to just make up games as we go. Hey, let's get a game next week. Nobody can play. We'll play St. Benedictine out of Mesa. We'll play Park University. We'll get anybody here to play us in a game. Pick up the phone and call and schedule. I really believe, guys, that with what has gone on with COVID and the nimbleness that some of these programs have had to show, like when we hear that in 2033, Arizona State signed an agreement to play, you know, fill in the blank, Notre Dame or Texas, whoever. Those days should be gone, shouldn't they? I mean, haven't we figured out that, look, our team is going to be down next season. Our team's going to be up next year. Let's try and schedule up to have the best games so we don't have dog food games. Maybe it is within the Pac-12 conference. The conference is just circling the drain again after another officiating disaster and debacle over the weekend. Maybe the conference looks at it and says, let's play all of our games within the conference. Let's everybody play everybody. And then let's go find two games. And then the days of playing Northern Arizona University, though that's the regents that say that has to happen. But the days of having the New Mexico States on your schedule to open out the season, those days should be gone. Let's make it be the best games that can be played. And let's schedule it in, I don't know, February, March, April. High school football is going to do that here in the offseason. They're going to just tear up the schedules that they had in place for 2 years. They're just going to go play and make it all up again this coming offseason. I think that's very good. The NFL does that every year outside of, you know, that you're going to play against in 2024, 2025. You're going to play against if you're the Cardinals, you'll play against the AFC East, by example. So you know you're going to play Buffalo and Miami and the Jets and so on and so forth. So I feel like the nimbleness that's been shown in college football may end up being a positive to come out of this, because I can't sit here and rant and rave every day about the negative, negative, negative. On the college basketball end with ASU playing tonight, it takes me over to the Suns. I was pretty excited to see Chris Paul yesterday. I sat and watched all of Chris Paul's press conference. I think having Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Chris Paul talking about hooping with Devin Booker is pretty cool. You know, the days of me sitting here saying the clock since the Suns have had a playoff game has been 2,834 days, 4 hours, 3 minutes, 2 seconds. I think I'm going to retire that. I mean, you guys, it'll speak for itself this year if they don't make the postseason. There's no excuse. There's no reason. They look like, to me, a team that's right in the middle of the pack. They're not on the upper end, but they're not on the lower end either. So it's pretty cool seeing Chris Paul yesterday. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, the trade last night with Russell Westbrook, John Wall was an institution in Washington, D.C. He was. He wasn't my favorite player to watch. Whenever I'd see the Wizards, like, okay. Russell Westbrook, for whatever reason, Houston got this trade put together with Washington in like 2 hours. Woj reported last night, it was like one phone call yesterday, and it's, okay, let's do it. And it was the agent that put it all together. So when you hear players say, oh, well, you know, I really want to be here, this is what I'm all about, no, get me the heck out of here. Get me the heck out of here. And that's what happened yesterday. And so now you have John Wall coming over here. You're going to see John Wall against Chris Paul at times, which will be fun, point guard against point guard. All right, Peter King is next. Football Morning in America's Peter King. Then Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. As promised, Football Morning in America's Peter King is with us. Really interesting time with Peter. The last few times we've had Peter on, I've had the sense from him without him saying it that, you know, this virus is going to grow and we'll see if we get through the NFL season. And now I think we're at a point where I've just got to ask you flat out, do you think we're going to make it through, or what will Christmas look like, Peter? Because what happened with the Ravens and Steelers, unprecedented, obviously. What do you think the next few weeks in the NFL looks like from what you're hearing, what your gut tells you?
Well, I had a chart in my column this week, Brad, that basically showed how since the end of October, the positive player tests have gone week by week from 8 to 15, to 17, to 28. And yesterday, I saw the numbers yesterday. I think there were 30-something. So I think we'd all be a little bit naive to think that these numbers are just going to continue to, you know, that they're going to plateau. They're not going to plateau because they're not plateauing in the United States, and the NFL is not in a bubble, nor do I think the NFL right now should be in a bubble. I do think, as opposed to what Roger Goodell thinks, that they should be in a bubble when the playoffs happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they should be in a bubble now. But having said that, you're going to have situations the way that that manifested itself, themselves, last week with both Baltimore and Denver. Now, Denver was a fluky thing, but still, to think that that's not possible to happen, to have outbreaks like that within a team, I just think is naive. One other point, and, you know, I think it's impossible to predict, but I think the other thing you saw from this weekend, Brad, this very, very long weekend of football, is that the NFL is going to do two things. If they feel that you are responsible for bringing in, the coronavirus and for making it worse on your own team, they're going to make you play and they're going to say tough cookies. They did it with Denver because they thought that Drew Lock and his teammates, other quarterbacks, had not been forthcoming when they talked to the league about it. You know, and I learned this a long time ago with Michael Vick. You lie to the commissioner, he's going to come down on you pretty hard. Mm. And so it might be too strong to say they lied, but they certainly weren't forthcoming when they originally talked to the league. And then you also have the Ravens situation where, you know, clearly a part of this was brought on by an assistant coach on the team. And the one interesting thing, I know the Ravens very well, Brad, and they weren't at all upset that they were getting yanked around and, you know, and they were supposed to play this day, that day, the other day, because they said, look, this is not quoting anybody in the organization, but I think they feel like that in part they brought it on themselves. Mm. So they deserve whatever medicine they had to take. I thought it was a little small of the Steelers after the game to be blaming Goodell for changing the, the date of the game and, you know, so often. Look, you're just trying to do the right thing. You really are. And in this case, it probably would have been irresponsible the day that two more players get COVID to say, yep, full speed ahead, we're playing on Tuesday. You know, I'll never forget. I wrote this in May that everybody's got to get used to the fact that if you want football this year, it's going to be an unfair season. And that's what this is right now.
Mm. You mentioned something earlier I want to follow up on, and that is you don't believe that there could be or should be a bubble right now, but you do believe that there should be a bubble for the playoffs. If there is a bubble for the playoffs, don't you need to have a few weeks' time in order to put that bubble in place, one? And two, where would you envision a bubble being for the NFL?
I think there should be a bubble in every city, in every one of the playoff teams. If there are 14 playoff teams, my feeling is the week of the game, they all ought to be put, they all ought to be quarantined in a hotel. And honestly, you know, first of all, I know what people in the league think, and I know what Dr. Sills thinks about this. Mm-hmm. And I think he basically believes that if you quarantine everybody in a hotel the week that you're going to play a playoff game and everybody is together for that week, then clearly if one person is infected, it could spread like wildfire within the team. And I get that. I understand that. But you do exactly what you have been doing. You're as careful as you are if people are staying in their homes. The only thing is you basically tell everybody, look, everybody's in one room. There's going to be no communal gathering. You're not getting together. We're going to still do our meetings via Zoom. So I do think that especially if the Rams are in the playoffs and you're in Southern California, look, today is December 3rd, you know, as we record this. So right now in Los Angeles, the mayor of Los Angeles is telling everybody, do not leave your homes. Mm-hmm. Unless it's an emergency, unless you absolutely have to. It might be a lot better 5 weeks from now when the Rams have to get ready for a playoff game. I don't know. But I would feel a lot better if I were Sean McVay and I were Les Snead, the GM, and Kevin Demoff, the COO. I'd feel a lot better if I knew that I had all of my players in an area where they were together but apart, and they weren't out picking up food somewhere or doing whatever.
Right, right.
And so that's why I think there ought to be a playoff bubble. And again, look, you can't do it for 2 weeks necessarily. You do it until your team is out of the playoffs, in my opinion. I think that's the best way to do it.
Football Morning in America's Peter King with us. Peter King podcast. We'll ask Peter about the guests here when we wrap things up momentarily. Sean McVay is 6-0 against the Arizona Cardinals. They're averaging almost 30 points per game, and I get it. The Cardinals, when he first started, weren't very good at all. But the Rams are here this week. Two of their last five games for the Cardinals are against the Rams. Peter, what is it about Sean McVay and the Rams, 6-0 against the Cardinals, A, B? What do you see out of that team?
Recently I've seen a quarterback who gives it away too much. And, he's third in the league in turnovers among quarterbacks now. So that's a little bit different from the quarterback in the team that's gone 6-0, really. They've been more efficient on offense in the past. But I just think it's the Rams have been better than the Cardinals for much of the last 3 years. I don't think there's any magic formula to it. I just think the Rams overall have been a better team, and now they're much closer. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why they're closer is because there's a multitude of things that the Cardinals can do on offense right now. There's a multitude of things the Rams can too, but I think they're a more evenly matched it's a much more evenly matched game right now. I'd be surprised if this year was not a split between the Cardinals and the Rams.
And before I get you out of here, I had Daryl Moose Johnson on earlier this week, and Moose thinks, and he did the game Sunday in New England, and he said, look, Brad, being around the team, talking to Cliff, meetings, watching them on the field, they're not that far away. They're just one of those teams that just hasn't figured it out yet. They will figure it out, he does believe, but they're one of those that's the in-between where they're just not quite good enough yet. Kyler's going to get them over the top. Do you see that the same way? I'm not so sure, Peter. I'm really not so sure on that.
Well, I think that there's a couple areas of the team that I'd like to see better overall. One is the offensive line. I think right now that they have enough weapons, okay? But I just think that I'd like to see them, I'd like to see them get a couple more players on the offensive line. And I'd really like to see one more defensive playmaker, on that team. Look, Chandler Jones ought to be back as good as new opening day next year.
Right.
And whether that's going to be, look, what are you going to do with Patrick Peterson? Do you still value him as a in a time when the cap's going down $23 million? Do you still value him as a $13 million a year player? Will somebody else in the NFL value him as that or more? And so that is the thing that – those are the kinds of questions that you probably have to answer. And whether they draft what they feel is a difference maker early on defense, whether Isaiah Simmons now keeps coming into his own – and you say, you know what, next year in the draft and free agency, we're going to be totally focused on protecting Kyler Murray and being better on the offensive line. That'd be fine with me. But I do think that the Patrick Peterson / cornerback situation is going to hang over the team entering next year.
Yeah, and when you have these discussions with fans about Patrick Peterson, they immediately throw up Tyrann Mathieu. And it's a fair point, that.
Well, but it's a little bit of a different story because Tyrann Mathieu was significantly younger, when he was cut loose, basically, when they decided not to pay him or whatever the contract thing was.
Yep.
And, Patrick Peterson has been around a while. So I don't know. We'll see. But you're right. Patrick Peterson, if he goes somewhere, he might go somewhere and be good for 2 or 3 years. But, look, this is going to be a very weird year across the NFL this coming off season because there's going to be things that happen with salary cap that you've got to look at. You've got to look at long term. And I don't know if you're going to pay for a cornerback when you're not positive what he's going to be over the next 3 years.
I think that's a very fair point. Who's on the podcast this week, Peter?
I got Kendall Hinton, the man of the moment in Denver, and Raheem Morris of the Atlanta Falcons, the interim coach.
That's a good one. That's a lot of fun. I appreciate your time and your insight as always. Thanks. Stay safe.
All right, Brad. Take care.
There is Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. And we're back with more after this timeout. And as promised, it is Bill Goodykoontz. It is Goody at the Movies. We're actually, I think this might be the second or third time in the last calendar year we've actually talked movies. We'll talk about Trump and some other stuff too. Goody joins us, Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Who's the guy over your ear? We're talking off air about setups and sets. And so who's that guy?
This is Count Orlok. He's from the movie Nosferatu. I believe it's 1927. One of the first great horror movies. And they had to call him Count Orlok because it's basically the story of Dracula, but the Bram Stoker people were not cool with using the name Dracula since it was his book. It's one of the great, you can find it anywhere probably, great performances, great movies, lots of shadows, sort of the German expressionism thing. I'm going on and on. Horror movies are a big thing of mine, and this is one of the first and one of the greatest. But it's actually painted on an album,
that's
vinyl right there. Yeah,
what's on the other side of you? What is on the other side?
It's a piece of art that the same friend gave me, but my friends think it's a zombie walking a. So I didn't. There's not meant to be like a theme here, but I guess it was. Maybe, I'm gonna have to switch some things up, but it pales in comparison to your background. So.
Yeah, I told him off air. He's like, "Wow, that's really cool." And I said, "It's a green screen." And for I had you for a moment.
I believed it. That's how good it looks. I believed it.
Well, it's in this world of doing digital and TV shows, and everybody's working from home. You got to spice it up a little bit. So have some fun.
Well done.
Have you seen anything that's jumped out at you? We're just going to get back to movies here for a bit. What have you seen lately? It's like, you know, it's holidays. This is going to be really good, or this is good. What have you seen?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, as you know, because we used to go to screenings all the time, it's been a weird year for movies. I mean, the really big stuff has either moved to 2021, or in the case of, for instance, Wonder Woman, it's going to be released on, you know, digitally. The same Soul, the same as what happened with Hamilton back in the summer. So typically this is the busiest time of year for a movie critic, because everybody's trying to get their Oscar-worthy stuff in. And it's still sort of happening, but it's happening with all these studios sending you links and saying, like, watch this. So I've been trying to kind of, like, mow through some stuff. So I've seen some good stuff, and I've seen some bad stuff. And I've seen, you talk about feeling like a Grinch. There's a Netflix film, Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Looks dreadful. And
it's horrible. And my review posted the same day that they announced that she had given all that money. But I said in my review, I said, look, Dolly Parton is a national treasure. She is a historically important songwriter. Mm-hmm. She is, you know, she's a great performer. She's, you know, but this movie's horrible. So I've seen some bad stuff too. But we're starting right now to get this sort of deluge. Everything's messed up. I mean, the calendar's messed up. The Oscars are going to be later. So there isn't quite the crush that there normally would be, but I think old habits die hard. So studios are really sending out a lot of stuff. You know, Mank is now streaming on Netflix. It's the story about Herman Mankiewicz, who wrote or either wrote or co-wrote, depends on whose history you believe, Citizen Kane, which I will not argue against the
greatest movie ever.
The wisdom that it's the greatest movie of all time. I think it's one of those movies that scares some people off because it's always at the top of, you know, best of all time. And you think, oh, well, it must be important and all that stuff. And it is important in a million different ways, but it's also really fun. Now, this movie is less fun, but it's still good. And Gary Oldman, that is, for all I know, might win another Oscar. He's really, if you give Gary Oldman a movie where he can drink and smoke a lot, like when he was playing Churchill in Darkest Hour, then you've got something. I spoke to him when he did Darkest Hour, where he played Churchill, and he smoked so many cigars he actually had to be hospitalized for nicotine poisoning.
That's great. That's a great, well, note. That's a great
note. Oh, and I just imagine, like, what it was like, box after box of cheap cigars. He's like, oh no. He said the one thing, he said he's not a big movie star guy or anything, but he said the one thing he insisted on was great cigars. if he's going to have to smoke them all day, all night, he was going to have good ones.
So. Okay, so that's Manic, that's on Netflix. So, and we have to now get into the space of what's cool on Netflix and what may show up at the theaters. And so your job is just, I saw Half Brothers, and it's pretty darn good. And it's got some underlying tones of importance of immigrants coming into our country that caught me, that I really liked this movie. I wouldn't say it's the best I've ever seen, but I really liked it. I got through it.
Yeah, it's getting good notices, and I'm glad to hear that. I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. I should say this. I should also explain a little bit of this. This is also typically the time of year when critics do top 10 lists and that kind of thing. And some publications have already hit me up. You know, they compile different critics around the country and stuff. And you know, and so I made them a list, and now it would be different because I saw the other night. And this is, you're the only person who has this so far. I've teased this online, but I haven't told anybody what it is. But I've seen what I think is the best movie I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Which is a movie called Minari. And it's the Korean family moves to, they've been kind of moving around the country, and they moved to rural Arkansas. maybe all of Arkansas is rural. I don't know. Actually, despite being from the South, I've never actually been to Arkansas. But it's basically about the filmmaker's life when he was a boy, and they struggle. And the dad wants to be a farmer, but the grandmother moves in with him, and the boy and the grandmother kind of don't get along, but they sort of bond. And it sounds like the kind of thing you've seen a million times before, but it's really not. And it's just done so well.
Is it a movie? Where do you find
Minari? I believe is going to be Amazon Prime. It's going to stream on Amazon Prime. Okay. But as you say, I mean, some of this stuff shows up in theaters at the same time. Some of it, like Mank, has been in, I think it was in a theater in Payson. I mean, you know, they put them in theaters to get them qualified for Oscar contention for a week or two. And then they stream on Netflix. I believe Mank starts streaming on Netflix tonight at midnight. So it's this sort of rolling schedule. And I'm still not going back into theaters, but I know some people are, and there's stuff there, and there are still a few movies that are opening only in theaters, like the movie Freaky, which was kind of a cool take on the Freaky Friday, sort of meshed with this is sort of part of this Vince Vaughn renaissance or something, but he's really good in it. But that played only in theaters for a while. So
Clooney has something coming out, and Tom Hanks has something coming out. You can't talk about this stuff in depth.
I've seen the Clooney one. I can say I've seen George. I'll tell. Let's instead of talking about the movie, let's talk about George Clooney. He stars in it and he directs it as well. And
he made People Magazine Man of the Year. One of their four with Dr. Fauci. George Clooney.
Well, he does good things. I mean, he does. Yeah. You know, he's. He sort of graduated. I would say he's kind of like the rogue Tom Hanks now. You know, he still has that little bit of a bad boy image, or not bad boy, but kind of playboy image, even though he's married and has twins and all this stuff. And evidently, you know, he's a guy that knows his way around movies. I mean, he knows how to make a movie. I'll say that. And I find him in the same way. I think he's a good actor. I think he's an underrated actor. Mm-hmm. And I think you get caught up. It's not the same thing, but it's sort of like Tom Cruise. I think, you know, everybody has Tom Cruise is crazy or whatever. But I think they overlook. I think Tom Cruise can be really good. He doesn't always choose the greatest movies. And a guy like Tom Cruise is a guy like George Clooney. When you see a movie of theirs, somebody else may direct it, but they had a heavy hand in what that movie looks like.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you because there's a sports movie with George Clooney that might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen in the history of mankind. And you know where I'm going with this.
100% agree.
Leatherheads was just awful. And it's Tony's, hey, Brad, we're going to fly you out. We're going to get you in and we're going to get you George Clooney and da 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 da. And I'm all excited. And I'm sitting there and I see the movie and it's just dreadful. And it's, how am I going to do this? And then George Clooney insists that one of the co-stars, I don't even remember who it was. I forget, had to be in the 5 minutes that we had him, and you had to ask him the first three questions. And it was just dreadful. And it was like, okay, hey, George, what inspired you to just make Breck? Because it was Breck. That's what it was.
It was horrible. What it did was it played into his – it was about when it was set in 1920s or something, the early days of football, you know, that's why it's called Leatherheads, because they wear those old leather helmets. But it played to his worst instincts. I say it played to his, which is sort of these Google eyes and just like over the top silly acting. It didn't exactly play to those strengths. That's all it was. It was a whole movie of that. It wasn't like he did that every now and then. Yes. He did that nonstop. Sometimes he'll do that in the Coen Brothers movie, but just for effect, you know, just for a little bit, you know. But this was like a whole movie. But I'll say this about Clooney. Before, when I was a TV critic, and I used to go to the TV tour thing that we would do twice a year, Clooney came. This was after he was a huge star, but he was producing something. He was producing a live version of Failsafe that was going to be on CBS, and Clooney, before he was in ER and really hit it big, he was in, I think it was 18 failed pilots. So he's a real example of, you know, stick with it in this, but everybody, I didn't, because I hadn't been around that long, but all the critics knew him. And so he would say, you know, if somebody asked him a question, before he would answer, he would say like, "Oh, hey, Ed Bark, how's your daughter? Is she still dancing? Does she still do dance class?" And he just seems like a really good guy. But have me on again. We'll talk about his movie in a couple weeks.
before I get you out of here, because time is short. NFL, juggling schedules, college just trying to wedge it in. Ratings are up, ratings are down. Thanksgiving Day was the highest rated. Redskins, Cowboys, announcing teams. Tirico does a game instead of Al Michaels. He's not traveling west of the Mississippi. I mean, east of the Mississippi. So what do you make out of the NFL so far and just football in general trying to broadcast?
I'll tell you. There was a time, and I believe we talked about this, there was a time in fall, kind of the middle of fall, where there was some major sport, because of the weirdness of the schedules, there was some major sport on every night, every single night. If there wasn't an NBA game, there was an NFL game, or there was a hockey game, or there was a baseball game. You know, it was everywhere. And I think that the sort of complaint, which seems stupid now, was like, oh, there's too much. You know, you can't keep up with it. And now it's like, well, it's a Wednesday. What do you mean there's no football? You know, you kind of got used to it. But yesterday there was football. Yesterday at 1:30 in the afternoon, Steelers are playing the Ravens. And that's just weird. Did I watch it? The heck yeah, I watched it. I mean, if it's on, I'll watch it. You know, but it does feel weird, and it does feel a tad desperate, I think, on the part. The NFL seems to be saying, we're going to get this done. You know, I saw somebody tweet it, you know, three of the Steelers may be on respirators on the sideline if need be, but they're going to play this game one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And that does seem to be there. Now, I'll say this. Those guys are professional football players. They get paid to play professional football. You can make all the jokes about college players that you want, but that getting paid to play, but ostensibly they don't get paid, and they're being asked to, you know, trot out there with, as you know, much larger rosters and a lot less testing. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the stuff you see, like, you know, is Ohio State going to be eligible for the playoffs? I think my guess is they'll find a way to make them eligible. If they don't play another snap until the playoffs, Ohio State is going to be in the playoffs. But it's weird. But I mean, we just spent 10 minutes talking about how weird movies have been this year. So I mean, find me something weird. That isn't weird. And that's what I'd like to talk about for a while.
Well, I'm going to go do that today, and that is golf. But that's a conversation for another day. And I'm not any good at it, but I'm outside and I'm breathing good air from what I know. So I'll let you go off that. See you. Stay well.
Right. See you later.
There's Goody at the Movies, and we appreciate his time as always. And we're back with more after this timeout.